What's going on? Yo, it's your boy Cuban Mike. You are here at the Tape Deck 102.9. And tonight I got a really special guest. She's so special, she's doing a hostile takeover. So after she's done with this radio station thing, we should go upstairs and kick it with Ball State and use Britt Johnson. Before I give it this great, you know, intro, because I do very great on my intros, I got a quick PSA. Well, before the PSA, I want to get a shout out to, you know, my DR people. They had their own little Independence Day going on. I went out to Boston, and, you know, I saw them raise the flag. So shout out to Councilman Pepin, shout out to Santana, and shout out to Councilman Mejia. You know, they out here representing me, coming from where I'm from, Lawtown, Massachusetts, you know, next to the Cubans. DR folks, they're probably the most prideful folks that I came around with, and the PR folks. So shout out to DR. And also, with my PSA, I want to give a quick rant. I want to give a quick rant because, you know, if you know me, I always try to advocate on what goes on with Cuba because I'm a Cuban-American. And, you know, I already, you know, if you follow me, I've told the story over and over about, you know, the struggles that goes on in Cuba, the story with my parents, me bringing Cuban guests. And something happened that got an inbox from my friend here that's in the building. And I just want to give a quick, you know, audio on what this political Congress, whatever she want to call herself. She's part of the squad. Ilhan Omar, she went to Cuba and she decided to talk about, you know, Cuba and all the, you know, injustice, all the stuff that America's done to them and the embargo. And I mean, you know where I stand with that. And you know, it's a whole bunch of nonsense. But I'll ride you the clip for a second. I'll rock you with the clip.
I rise today to express my profound frustration at the continued Trump-era policies towards Cuba. For 65 long years, the Cuban people have suffered under the weight of American embargo. Now, Cuba's completely unwarranted designation as a state sponsor of terror is causing new waves of hardship for the people of the island. It is also impacting our allies and friends. Mr. Speaker, I met with many ambassadors from close partners of the United States when I was in Cuba, and they were unanimously opposed to the state-sponsored designation. Trump and Pompeo created this designation knowing it has no merit, and it was a political trap for the Biden administration. I call on President Biden to step out of that trap finally and stop this cruel and counterproductive policy. He should remove the state-sponsored designation today.
Yeah, so that gave me a headache. Listen up. I'm going to speak to, you know, the squad, even some of the political folks here in Massachusetts, and even some of the people that's pro whatever the case you want to call it. This is not a Trump thing. This is not a Republican. This is a Cuban thing. And the fact that she mumbled all that stuff and she not once mentioned anything about the political prisoners, she didn't mention about the human rights, the fact that Cuba has probably the worst human rights throughout the world, this is not something that Trump started. This has happened for 60-plus years. And I'm going to say this once and for all. There are laws in the book to get this thing lifted. And that's something that the Cuban government does not want to do because that means they have to expose themselves of all the dirt, nasty, and disgusting things that they've done to our people. Let me say another thing. I'm so disgusted and just like done with people that, you know, want to have this thing with Cuba, that they want to come and lift this embargo. And knowing that we have laws in the book, legit laws in the book, if you do your research on how to do this thing. But they just want to bypass that because they want to gain some monetary gain. They want to exploit our doctors. And, you know, I understand that, you know, in Boston, we don't have too many Cubans and we are a small community, but we are a community and we have a story to tell. And, you know, again, you don't have to believe on our political views, but listen to the people that have been through it. And not only that, just don't take, like, you know, ridiculous talking points like Omar here and think that, you know, that this is it that's going on with Cuba. It's deeper than that. And the fact that she knows what's going on and trying to, like, you know, bypass that is disgusting and it's very shameful. And I wish she kept that same energy when it comes to her and a ceasefire. And here's the thing. I'm for a ceasefire because I don't want to see people dying anymore. But that's a dumb thing because they're the ones going at it. So, and I'm not that educated. So if I come across a Palestinian or Israel person to, you know, to educate me on that topic, I'm all in. But I am for a ceasefire because I'm tired of seeing people dying. And I wish he had that same compassion for the Cuban people that's been going through a dictatorship for the past 60-plus years. And that's enough of my rant. But, you know, enough about that. Today in the building, I got a special friend here. And, you know, we've been rocking. You know the funny thing about it? I was trying, when I had her in the building, I was trying so hard not to talk about Cuba and the communist and dictatorship and the politicized state that's going on with us and as a people. But damn it, this thing just keeps bugging us. It keeps just like knocking on our head. And, you know, you're the one that sent me this daggone message. And I had a good Friday. I had a great Friday. Went to the mall.
Some lunch.
You know what I mean? You gave me this thing and I was antsy.
I apologize.
Oh, Jesus. Good Lord.
Does that work? I apologize.
I accept it. I accept your apology. It's not your fault. You're just a messenger.
The thing is, you know, Cuban issues to me is not a trend. Even though I went viral because of speaking up on Cuba, you know, a few years back, Cuban issues are not a trend for me. I leave Cuba. Cuba hurts me. This young woman, I don't want to disrespect her. I don't know. Like you say, she used a Trump versus Biden thing, and she bypassed Cuba completely. So she only used Cuba as a clickbait, or I don't know how to call it. But is she even concerned about what's really going on in Cuba? I don't think so.
Not at all.
It doesn't sound like that. It doesn't, you know, so it, whatever. Not just that. I want to see what part of the visit of, and again, you say we wasn't going to go too deep into Cuban.
Yeah, we're here. We're here for an hour.
But,
we're stuck here. So
what part of the island she saw? What part of what tour? I want to see what tour they took her through. You know, did she spoke to the real people? Did she went to the prisons to see the political prisoners? Did she saw the young ladies, you know, prostituting themselves in the streets? Did she saw that part? Did she saw the misery? Did she see that part? Or she went to, you know, the already pre-arranged tour where you only see the cute parts and you stay in the resorts and all the stuff. So how is the Cuban, this government, because it's not a government for me, I do not consider it to be my government, how are they able to build all these, you know, retreats and resorts and all the stuff to take people like her, but then they cannot spend a dime in hospitals? And it's not the embargo's fault that the Cuban people cannot have like private companies, private businesses, or fish in their own waters. Meanwhile, the Cuban fish is being sold in Canada. So let's keep it for real now.
Yes. And I tried. I really, really tried. And again, with the thing with Cuba, it's not an economical issue. It's a political issue. It's a political issue.
And it's a human rights issue. Human rights that has been violated for 60 plus years.
And it's on the books. It's a law called the Cuban Liberty Act. With that law, if the Cuban government honors that, it gets lifted. But they don't want to because that means they have to expose themselves to where they really are.
Exactly.
Ah, Jesus. Okay, now let me give you a proper introduction now. It was supposed to be a 3-minute rant, but not gone longer than that. This lady here, she's a woman with many hats. You know, she's an entrepreneur, an activist. She's a model now. She's a model. I mean, she might be under 5'5", but she's still a model in the streets. You know?
Hey, let's not insult my height.
No insult. That's all love. But you know, you got to be a model. You got to be 5', whatever the case may be. And you broke that law. So, you know, when my little son going to walk them wild way.
Little girls matter, okay?
There you go. You know, we've been chopping bread, breaking bread since like the last 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? My mom caught a liking to her. That's basically the adopted niece right now. Member for the family. Her dad adopted me as the nephew right now. So we family. Ladies and gentlemen, I got Grecia Ordóñez in the building. How you doing, baby?
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. Thank you for having me here. It's always good to be around you.
It's never a dull moment.
Right.
Never a dull moment.
It's always fun. I like being here.
Yeah. So I'm gonna tell you like this. After this and upstairs, you're gonna have a new fan base with this Vaza community.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. And I wanna thank you for the opportunity. You put me on to the whole thing. You had made me more visible to the Boston community, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, I do what I can for my peoples. I was trying out my hardest not to, like, politicize this whole thing, but I'm going to do it again before our show ends because that's what humans do. No matter what, we could talk about baseball, art, music, somewhere around it. We're bringing it full
circle.
We're
going to bring up Cuba because it hurt us.
Yeah, man.
It hurt us, so we need to talk about it.
All right, so first and foremost, I want to talk about your episode you did in New York. Not episode, but your little thing you did in New York with the modeling thing. How was that experience about, and who was the design guy that did that?
Okay, so it is a Cuban designer. Alberto Leal. And I had the great opportunity to go down the runway in New York Fashion Week. Like, who would have thought? This little girl from Havana was just in New York Fashion Week. And it was amazing. It was a great opportunity. I was part of, he has these, I mean, he presented a lot of dresses, but part of his collection was pro-democracy, pro-liberation of the Cuban people. And you know, he didn't want a model. He wanted an activist to model that dress. So I was very, very honored that he chose me, you know, he chose me to wear that piece. It was nerve-wracking.
Sacó bingo contigo. If he decided to do that, because as an activist, sacó bingo, you know? And, I mean, overall, you told me you was nervous, so I could imagine it was nerve-wracking because it's New York, so
it's New York Fashion Week. It's not just New York any other day. Like, you know, we talking about the bread and butter of fashion.
Yes, and when I saw you, I saw the design that you had, so it was pro-democracy, so it was one you had with the communist. Hold up, before I continue on. Was your homegirl there? Eileen was there also too?
No, Eileen was part of, because remember, he went to Milan Fashion Week in Italy first.
Yeah.
And then he did New York Fashion Week. So she was part of the promotional campaign for the whole collection.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, you had the communist dress, the no communist.
Yeah. Yes. No communism. Yep.
When you had that on, was any questions being asked behind that, or did they have the idea that, you know, what they guys representing?
Well, my dress was the big ta-da moment. I was literally, because one of the first thing that let's be honest. I know I can be honest here in your show.
We keeping it real, baby. So, no filter on the tape deck.
They told him no political messages. That was one of the first thing that they told him. He's like, you are going to go down the runway. I don't care if they kick us out. At least they're going to see the dress. They're going to take pictures of the dress. And it's going to be stamped somewhere in some social media profile that you walk the runway. So I was like, okay, no problem. So since the dress had a bottom part, what I did is I hid the top and I kind of like hid the message until it was time for me to walk the runway. By the time I was up there, they couldn't kick me out, so I was already done.
Nice.
And it was really good. It was actually really, really good. We had this Hindu, this very famous, I just found out that she's very famous, Hindu photographer that took some pictures, and now my pictures are all the way in India. Yeah.
You know, what makes it even more special about you being in the building, yesterday was the last day of Black History Month, and today is the first day of Women's Month, I believe. Today's Women's Month. So you out here to be in the jack of all trades, be a black woman. I love it.
Thank you.
So the audience, I kept talking about this movie that you were in, and I've talked about it back in September, so I want to go on a flashback on that.
Mm-hmm.
Plantadas. Can you please tell my audience Plantadas and what it was about?
Yes, Plantadas is a movie about political prisoners, the female political prisoners in Cuba after Fidel Castro took power in 1959. A lot of those women had helped him against Batista, and then he betrayed them because they fought for democracy, not for a communist system. And when they realized that it was going to turn into a communist system, a lot of them protest and try to, you know, to go against Fidel Castro, and he put them in jail. There are the most impactful part of the whole thing was sitting with the real plantadas, sitting with the real prisoners and hearing their stories and how much trauma they still carry. That was something.
I saw the movie with mom, and, you know, being around her and people just her age, like, I had the professor on my show. I'm about to do an episode with him. I was about to be uploading next week.
But nice.
The professor. And the one thing that he told me, the same thing that mom told me, is, like, we paranoid.
Yes.
Cuba
yes.
got a paranoid factor when it came to me. And there's a scene, I don't want to, like, give the scene out, but it was a scene in the movie with the ladies where the betrayal happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to give the hint up, but there's a scene that they got the lady was betrayed, and my mom was screaming out, "This is why I don't trust people." This is what we got to go through. That's why I have no friends.
So the movie is celebrating the 1 year of premiere, and it's going to be in Miami again.
Again?
Yes. All right. This month.
I'm hoping he could get something and have it on Prime or in Tubi or something, because that movie needs to be out there.
Well, he tried. He actually tried. Lilo Villaplana is the name of the director.
Yeah.
Lilo Villaplana, he tried, but again, the political message.
That's crazy with all the stuff that be going on here.
The political message, and they were trying to lowball him big time.
Yeah. And I don't want to get into his business like that, but I wonder if he could have it on YouTube at least. There's some way he could do it to have it like
right.
Either on YouTube or he could have his own website.
But I believe that it's still going around festivals, so yeah. It cannot be presented to the public until it's done with the festival.
Yeah, because there are people that saw the movie and they said, "I want to see this movie, but I can't get a hold of it because it's not in my state," and stuff like that. So I'm hoping he could get that through and show that movie. And also, he also did the male version, Plantados, right?
So, yes, he has Plantados. That one is...
Yeah, that one's rough.
Ooh,
now, that, I suggest everybody see both of them, but that one is rough.
That one is rough. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So over the past 2 or 3 years, again, I was trying my hardest not to bring this up, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Activism. For the last 2 or 3 years, how's been your life after you've been gone viral and, you know, been getting this notoriety? And I know I played a big part, you know, helping this part out. You're welcome. How's been the notoriety now for the last 2 years since you've been on Revival?
Wow. Well, I already had a big platform, but because of my spiritual stuff, and then the activism, you know, the July 11 happens, and boom, there I go, super viral for something other than what I was known for. Mm-hmm. And it has been a blessing. It has been growth. A lot of growth. A lot of growth. Yeah. I've had to learn the whole social media game. Keeping my sanity in the midst of being viral, and understanding that with the good also comes the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to a great light, there is also a great shadow. So, you know, but it's been amazing. It has opened a lot of doors. Look at me. I'm here with you now.
Hey, look at that. And that's a blessing within itself, baby.
Hello now.
Hey. I want to ask you something before, again, another political question, but before that, I want to ask you this. Prior, before doing that, before you've been rival, what were you doing with, you know, with the social media thing? Because I'm trying to go back pre-Gracia.
Right.
And I see you were doing things involving, I don't know if you're doing the wine thing, but
yes.
I know.
Okay, yes.
You're
doing
the wine. So please, let's talk about the wine thing, because I know
the main reason
why I wanted to be here for the whole entrepreneur thing, but Omar here came messing my vibe.
So I have an event that's called Witches and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's an event where we bring spiritual women together in a space. And to be honest with you, I started the event because I'm nosy. And I wanted to see who was behind the phone on my social media. I'm like, all right, these people are commenting and giving me kisses, you know, likes and all that stuff. Who are they? And do we have a space? There is a big wave of women, especially Black women, getting back into spirituality, getting back into, you know, ATR traditions and stuff like that. And I believe that we need a safe space to come together and speak about all of those things. So I created the event, Witches and Wine. It's an event that travels. It's not a stationary one place. So I go to different states and I just host the event in those different states. And it was really, really fun. It was really, really fun. I made a lot of connections, a lot of friends. So, you know, that's what I was doing before the whole activism.
Exactly the thing.
Yeah.
Nice. What was your favorite state to go to when you promoted your Witches and Wine?
Oh, my good.
Give me two at least two that was memorable.
Oh, you're terrible. You're terrible.
It's not like picking your favorite kid. It's a state.
Oh, my God. You know, you're terrible. Okay, so Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
That was a great event. I had two events in Washington. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And New York. New York.
Okay.
For sure. New Yorkers, they show up. They show up. Yeah.
All right. Also, one of the things I've seen when you go on. Oh, before I ask this question, you said something that really like gave me a light bulb right now.
What's that?
You put something online this morning, and it was this white lady that picked up something that she was supposed to pick up. We ain't gonna get into that. She picked something she was supposed to pick up, and I told you, did you get my message on that?
I read your comment. Yes.
See what you just said. I'm nosy. See two things. She's a woman and she's nosy. Women are nosy. You hear me? Women are daggone nosy.
Oh my God! You see, you calling us nosy now?
Yeah. So
we're inquisitive.
Nah, y'all nosy. y'all nosy, but I say this. Y'all nosy, but I always say y'all could also be the best detectives.
Our nosiness saves lives.
Lives, yeah.
Okay.
It saves lives because I know a couple of times people being nosy kind of saved my behind a few times. So
our nosiness saves. That sixth sense is a real thing. When we tell you don't go, you better don't go.
I got you.
We know what we're saying.
And sometimes y'all just want to be nosy because y'all just nosy.
And we be having dreams too.
Now, you know what it is? You're paranoid. A paranoid Cuban.
Okay, you can call it paranoid, sweetheart. It's okay. When you need me, I'll be here.
All right. Good. Walk all the way. One of the things I've seen when you are online, two things that you I've seen you focus on is being a person that gives, I don't want to call you relationship expert, but you done give great relationship advice towards women when it comes to dealing with our hard-headed ways.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
What led you to do that thing? Because all this time, I thought you was out here giving wine.
Well,
to witches.
Listen, it went from the wine and the tarot cards to all of that stuff. Because I believe that everything is connected. You know, if you are doing good in every aspect of your life, you are a whole woman. You know, you don't want to be doing good. I have a lot of clients that come to me and tell me, I'm doing great professionally. My job is doing amazing. I just got a promotion, blah, blah, blah. But my love life is terrible. My love life is not working. It's like I cannot be whole. It's like everything is always missing. And I'm like, yeah, no, whoops. We're going to stop that right there. I'm big on the power of the mind, the power of the words. I'm big on the law of attraction, the law of assumption, and metaphysics in general. So, you know, I feel like, you know what? Let's say that I didn't have a lot of examples of healthy relationships growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn on my own. I had to learn from observing, you know, other people. And I feel that it's important to put my girls on game. Because a lot of women, unfortunately, do not have the elder figures of women, you know, that will tell them, look, this is, I think you should be doing this, going this way, going this route, doing this, doing that. You know, so that's why.
Bet. All right, well, check it out. It's your boy, Cupid Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck. I got my homegirl, Grecia Ordonez, in the building. And we're going to go and give you a couple of PSAs, and we'll be back in a few. Y'all bear with me.
BNN and WBCA are celebrating Women's History Month by highlighting women who have made an impact throughout history. Jane Cook Wright was a physician and researcher who was the only woman among seven physicians who helped to found the American Society of Clinical Oncology. She is credited as having been among the researchers to discover chemotherapy. She was appointed by President Johnson to serve on the National Cancer Advisory Board, as well as the President's Commission on Heart Disease, Cancer, and Stroke.
For Women's History Month, BNN and WBCA are paying homage to all the women who have created history. Maria Mitchell, astronomer, librarian, naturalist, and educator. Mitchell was the first internationally known woman to work as both a professional astronomer and a professor of astronomy. In 1847, she discovered a comet that was later known as Miss Mitchell's Comet in her honor. Women's History Month, celebrating the leadership, achievements, courage, and the strength of women.
And we are back. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy, Cuban Mike. You're listening to 102.9 Tape Deck. I got my homegirl, Grecia Ordonez. How you doing, girl?
I'm doing amazing.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I am. I love it here.
It's never a dull moment, baby.
Can I come more often?
Oh, yeah, come on. mess around. You might be. I might need a co-host up in here.
Oh,
might come through every Friday. Who knows?
Hey, don't invite me to a good time now.
Hey, listen. So, like I told you people before, Grecia is a woman with many hats, and I want to talk about a particular. You know what? I'm gonna save this one out. I want to talk about two things that you have online, which is your show.
Okay.
You got two shows?
Yep.
Please tell me about those shows.
Okay, so I have one that is political, and you know, so that is my, that's where I am able to express all my political self, and that's on Saturdays. And then I have one that I am creating content right now, but I haven't aired any episodes yet. And that one is more for dating. Sweet Papayon.
Now, with the live one, it's on Saturdays, right? Is it on Saturdays still?
Saturdays, yes. Saturday is the political one.
All right. What's the name of the show?
Pardon me?
What's the title?
Oh, it's just my name, Grecia.
Oh, you're Grecia?
Yeah, on my YouTube channel. And then, you know, I call it La Salita de Grecia, or, you know, Grecia's Living Room. And, you know, my followers, the people that are online with me, those are my neighbors. So we just chill like we are in my living room.
Bad. I've seen a lot of your episodes because I'm a fan. I want my coffee mug sometime soon.
Yes. We're working on merchandise.
Yeah,
yes, we are.
I want my coffee mug coming soon once you make it to Hollywood. two other episodes that stood out when I saw your show.
Mm-hmm.
It was one with the professor, Raudel, and Rasco.
Yes, Rasco Coman.
Yes. Anything that's Black Cuban, like, I love it because, you know, again, there's this thing, for whatever reason, they think that we're, like, non-existent.
Right.
And I'll tell you a funny story. I went to my homeboy's house, and when I went to hang out with him, like, I grew up with his wife, and, you know, they always call me Cuba, Cuba, Cuba. Mm-hmm. But then he was like, yo, why they keep calling you that? I'm like, because I'm Cuban. And he's like, you're Cuban? I'm like, yeah. And you're Black? Yeah, we exist out here, partner.
Right.
And the thing about it, he didn't know, but that's not his fault because you know where he's from. We ain't out here like that.
Right. Right.
And it's funny. Then I brought up all because he's a director.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people that I was naming that was saying that were Cuban, he didn't know because I never heard him speak Spanish. So
right.
So like one of his favorite movies was Jump the Broom with Lance Alonso.
Oh, Lance Alonso. Hello.
Yeah. Him. That muscle bound looking. His success sickens me.
Right. No, I love the voice. You know, I follow the series that he's a part now.
Yeah,
he's,
man.
Yeah.
I watched it off the strength of him, so.
Right.
But, yeah, man, he didn't know. And then there was Gina Torres and Sammy Davis Jr. And so I tell him all this stuff. Like, yo, like, why? He like, why y'all ain't out there? And he's Black, too. But he didn't know.
Right.
So he's like, why y'all ain't out here? I'm like, well, that's for another conversation.
Right. People try to, I get that question, too, a lot. You know, are you... Where did you learn to speak Spanish? Well, that's my first language,
honey. That's first
language, yeah. Hello. So, you know, I get that a lot. And people don't get that Fidel Castro hid the Black Cubans for a long time. The propaganda was always the, you know, the lighter skin ones. And he preached equality, but we didn't see it living in the island. Yeah. So, you know.
So that was a dope episode, and I really appreciate it. I know I did something similar with my podcast,
mm-hmm.
so I would love to have everybody, whether it's yours or I, just get together and do one more of those and just have a boatload.
Absolutely. So honored to put together that beautiful Black Cuban excellence in one room. That was amazing. So,
And we had it all. If you want some activism, if you wanted a professor, if you wanted a rapper, if you wanted we had it all. It was there.
Right.
Loved it. And one of the episodes that stuck out also, which was, it was beautiful, but it was just like so, you ever been in a situation when you want to help somebody and you feel so daggone helpless? You just got to hear that story.
Mm.
And it was the episode you had with Eileen.
I'm having her again tomorrow.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm looking for that.
I'm having her again tomorrow because her story needs to be told. Her story needs to be told, and, you know, the fact that she is the daughter of one of the repressors, the oppressors, you know, one of the people of the it's, listen, I can't even start to explain to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm getting myself ready with some tissue because I know tomorrow is going to be some tears.
Yeah, I've talked to her online or whatever, and she, like, seen the stuff that I've been doing or whatever. She's like, I want to do your podcast, but my English is not... English me no good. I'm like, don't worry about it. We're going to work too. When my bad Spanish and your bad English is going to be a beautiful marriage.
Right.
You could be good out here. Perfectly fine.
Right.
But yeah, man, that was a heartwarming episode. And when I know if you guys going to go in the way I think I'm going to go in, then I'll probably get a tissue myself.
Please.
So, yeah, man. Listen, it's your boy, Cuban Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck, and I know we've been doing a lot of talking, but let's get a little bit of music out here. And one of the artists I'm going to put out here is the homie Raudel, that homie that I just talked about. He was on Grecia's show.
Yes.
The homeboy Suspiro, he did my podcast a while back, and he's probably going to do my station also coming up soon. But I got the homie Raudel, and the joint that he's going to come up is called, Mas Micel. He sent me the whole thing up. We're going with Mas. The homie Raudel, your boy, Cuban Mike. 102.8 Tape Deck. Let's rock it out.
Yo, la cuadra en el perímetro, el imba, cenea y win en la casa. Hay mucho silencio cómplice, pero la isla sigue siendo un hervidero de resistencia. Nosotros somos los que tenemos el poder de la palabra. Racuano, oh. Yo, con la venia en los mayores atentamente me presento, escuadrón, el desverso más frontal desde hace tiempo, de la isla del silencio, de la isla del infierno, el epicentro del estalinismo más caribeño. Los reportes de la isla son funestos todo el tiempo, se quitaron las caretas y ahora están arremetiendo y reprimiendo sin misericordia, con todo el armamento. Los poderes tíos y estados están prestados para eso, radicales que extremistas en la calle se van a glorian, de régimen los protege y cuidan su trayectoria, plutocracia más dictarofobia en la sumatoria, descontrol por el terror como en los quietos de Cracovia. Anularon los derechos, anularon libertades, secuestraron las instituciones, abogados y fiscales, los medios de comunicación, todos parciales, secuestraron las escuelas, secuestraron hospitales. Los lamentos vienen de los cuatro puntos cardinales, madre buscando a sus hijos en estaciones y penales, contracaron a su pueblo, ya se sabe, y esa es la razón por la que se calentaron todos los metales. Los barrios, los caseríos explotaron en julio 11, la calle destila fuego y no es lo mismo desde entonces. Mataron en la protesta y no hubo caso ni reproche. El pueblo habló y respondieron como la masacre en Ponce. La escuadra en el perímetro, el delivery ejecuta. Yo sé que el final de Cuba va a ser por la fuerza bruta. Y el que tenga que pagar, que pague, que ni se discuta. Invacó que más y escupa estos hijos de la gran puta.
Matricina, brrr, en el perímetro escupiendo proyectiles.
Escupiendo proyectiles.
No se va a dar un break.
No,
no creo en
no,
su ley.
No.
Si vamos a estar hasta que el tren se descarrile.
Hasta que el tren se descarrile.
No vamos a parar de rapear.
Nunca.
No vamos a entregar los fusiles.
Díselo, imba.
Aquí sobran las municiones, así que preparen la guataca. Que ando traficando el rap por pacas. Échate otra placa de la que no le gusta al incauto, porque su cerebro no está apto. Harto del descaro de ese régimen totalitario, de sus perros, sus chivatos, sus sicarios, de la situación precaria ser en la que tienen nuestros barrios. Opto por seguir contestatario, fuego con granadas, que la misión no está terminada. Tienen secuestrada mi manada. Se mueven en carro el lujo y a sus perros le regalan ladas. Y lo que les sobre jamonada, ya no falta nada. Se les aproxima la debacle, el pueblo los va a montar en tacle. Así que disfruten la piscina, la mansión y el chocolate. Que se les que acerque el jaque mate. Está llegando el día de salir de toda su porquería, de su engaño y de su hegemonía. Cuando Cuba se levante a cere con gana y con mente fría, donde se esconde el cingao y sus mismos policías. Hasta ese día seguiré poniendo el baflo, ofendiendo a los comunistas, tratándolos como cafres, achicharrándolos lentamente en mi anafle, haciendo una zafra para que sufran, quitando disfraces. Aquí no hay pase con ustedes, no hay arreglo. Ya su fin se está acercando y su porvenir es negro. No hay flores para su entierro, de que se parten, se parten. Si aquí se parte hasta el hierro, cosa seria, cosa gorda, caso serio. Dictadores, solo queda la prisión y el cementerio. Se está derrumbando el imperio del mitómano más grande a ser el que ha parido este hemisferio.
Más misiles, el perímetro escupiendo proyectiles.
Escupiendo proyectiles.
No se va a dar un break.
No.
Creo en
no,
su ley.
No.
Y es catatriles. Más misiles. Y así vamos a estar hasta que el tren se descarrile.
Hasta que el tren se descarrile.
No vamos a parar de rapear.
Nunca.
No vamos a entregar los fusiles.
Jamás. Nunca. Libertad para todos los presos políticos de todas las prisiones de la isla. Rasta Boy, viva la música, hacer music. La escuadra en el perímetro de Limba, cenea la casa. Ey, yo.
Hijita mía, si cayó, y no me arriesgo los versos, la cruz se hará de tus manos, por eso callar no puedo. Hija mía, yo te amo, pero callarme no debo. Hija mía, si yo cayó, seguirá la cruz creciendo. Ya nuestros padres callaron, y callaron los abuelos. Hija mía, si yo cayó, la cruz se hará de tu cuello.
Oye, dicen que hay un coro que dice:
Aguagoto, 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 y Aguagoto.
Yeah, that was Camancola. I hope I ain't bushing my man. That got his name right?
Camancola.
Camancola, my fault, man. Camancola, Camancola, where abajo todo. This your boy, Cuban Mike. It's on 102.9 Tape Deck. And we're going to go to a PSA. And after that, we're going to continue on with my homegirl, Grecia. Y'all, we'll be back.
BNN and WBCA are celebrating Women's History Month by highlighting women who have made an impact throughout history. Patsy Mink was the first woman of color elected to the House of Representatives in 1964. She was the daughter of second-generation Japanese immigrants and worked to fight against segregation and discrimination. One of her many accomplishments was co-authoring the Title IX law, which prevents sex-based discrimination in any school or educational program funded by the government.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
What up? It's your boy, Cuban Mike. You listen to 102.9 Tape Deck. I got the homie, Grecia. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing amazing.
You know, you keep talking like they're going to take my job here at the Tape Deck. You stop talking so cool. Jesus.
No, I have to make the Boston people fall in love with me.
You know? Okay, I see what you're doing there. Trying to charm your way and butter my city up then.
ASMR. Cuban ASMR.
Look, stop. Enough. Okay, so question. What is Sweet Papayon? Can you please tell the audience this?
Just you tell me, what does papaya?
It's a fruit.
Right.
Yeah, it's a fruit.
But I know it's a fruit. Right? But when you say papaya, you know, what do you feel? You feel things. I know you feel things.
It's sweetness.
You got a little tingly there, right?
Sweet love there.
So sweet papayon. Yeah. Well, papayon, because papayon will be the superlative. You know, all we Cubans, we always, it's either ito, which is the diminutive, like, right, and the superlative is on for everything. So papayon because it's big, and and sweet because it's sweet. It's a lot of sweet in the papaya.
Yeah,
you know.
So, can you explain what the brand is and what it is?
It is an attraction.
Thank you.
It is. hey, let's get serious here. It is an attraction. It is attraction products, right? Magnetism and attraction that merge spirituality, but we also touch into the physical, because even though the product, especially the spray, is infused with rose quartz and, you know, spiritual stuff, it also has pheromones. So, you know, you put the spray on before you going on a date or before you going out there, you know, hunting. God, you know, some people single and ready to mingle. Mm-hmm. And then, or if you're trying to have a nice, fun night with your partner.
Bet. So basically, I put this on, I become a chick magnet.
Yes. And you said, your intentions. You said your own intentions, even though the label also has intentions and affirmations that you can read.
Hey, look, if I could get that, meet somebody and I marry them. So there. Keep a wholesome lifestyle.
Let me tell you something. Look, I was wearing Sweet Papayon with my partner, and we're still together. So
look at that. It brings people together. I love it.
Yes, it does.
I love it. With that being said, I'll tell the story because I had you on my podcast. You heard the story I told you when I put your video and it went viral again on TikTok.
Well, go ahead and tell the story, because
Okay, so I put the video. Okay, the first video that Grecia did, it went viral. And then when I got into the TikTok game, I was a newbie. So, okay, let me go a rehash of all the things I have on Instagram and put it on TikTok. But when I go on TikTok, I try to bring awareness. So I put Grecia's video and boom, it went viral again. So now on my page, it's got like at least 300K. As, you know, people were being, you know, showing love, support, and, you know, just showing solidarity, I had another side of it because I had guys sending me message thinking that it was her telling me, like, what can we do to get you out of there? Like, do you need money? You know, are you single? You know, why isn't a man there taking care of you? This is messed up. Like, I want to, you know, be your nice shining armor. So it went somewhere else I wasn't really expected. But thanks to your attractive ways, it brought another audience to ask more questions about Cuba.
Right.
So I guess whatever we gotta do,
I have to use what I got to get what I want.
Yeah,
and what
man.
I want is people to listen to the freedom message, the message of freedom, the message of the real Cuban people, not those people speaking for us, like this lady that you put in the beginning.
Yeah.
Not these people speaking for us. You know, like, listen to the real Cuban people.
Yeah.
So, yes, by the way, that magnetism spray also works through the screen, you know?
Bad. I mean, whatever. mess around. You know what? You need to have, like, a separate cash app for just that to send money to the cause. Because I already have to say, I have people ready to go. Get that plane ticket ready.
I know. That was funny when you told me you came to me. I remember that day, like it was yesterday. You said to me, you was pissed. You were so upset.
I'm like, this is not part
you
of the
were
game.
So
like, this
upset.
Ain't it.
And you were like, listen, this man sent me one more message.
Yo.
Thinking that I am you and you
and the thing about, there's a picture on my face on TikTok with a Cuban shirt saying even that. Like I'm a bald-headed dude with a goatee. We're just going to ignore that, right? Ignore me and my book bag.
Ignore you completely and then just focus on the video.
Yeah, focus on the video with eye candy. Who is this right here? I got to rescue her.
Yeah, but I got people to listen to the message.
Hey, look, thanks to you. Now we got 300 more people, 300 more K people watching and asking more questions. So
hello now.
Go look it out.
Yeah.
I will say there is a flip side, and I want you to tell me the story because even though we end up having a nice little fan base on TikTok, we do have our haters,
mm-hmm.
our people that are trying to distract the situation, infiltrators. You know, I know you have to take the good with the bad, so I know with doing the work that you have, you've probably been accused of whatever, you name it, even being a betrayer of the revolution.
Everything you can think of.
My favorite one, being a paid agent for the CIA. That's my
right.
favorite one.
They call me Gusana. They call me
Gusana.
All kinds of stuff. Yep.
I laugh at being a paid agent because I'm like, yo, if we're all being paid agents, they need to give me a raise because
I'm
not in the best condition.
I'm still waiting for my check. Waiting on my check. Where is my check?
The stimulus check gave me more than what these figures CIA people give me. But you know what was dope this time around is that those talking points are so ridiculous and they're being so tired. It's like, you need to come up with a better lie, but they don't have any anymore.
Right.
So I'm still optimistic on that part. Like, no one's falling for those lies anymore. No one's believing what they're saying. We got this thing now called the internet. That's the dictator's worst nightmare. And even as much as they try to suppress it, I mean, one thing I can say about our people, we're resilient. So whatever that we have, we'll take it and run with it and show, you know, we turn lemon to lemonade and show all the information that's going on with the atrocities. But again, I put the video up and I have, you know, the haters calling you an agent and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story that you have many, many videos, but you shared a story and I want you to share with my audience. The last time you went to Cuba and you had to bury your mother
mm-hmm.
and the shenanigans you had to deal with that crew over there.
Yeah.
Can you please tell my audience to show you that we're not playing and this is what you have to go through if you were to speak ill towards that system?
Yeah. So when I went to Cuba the last time to literally to say to tell my mom her last goodbye, I had a real agent post up right across the street from my house. I remember my grandmother. My grandmother knows everybody in the neighborhood. Everybody knows her. She used to be, you know, the physical education teacher for generations of people there. So a lot of people know her. And she said to me, this man is not from here. And I'm like, who? She's like, come look through the window. And, you know, I looked, and of course, you know, you can tell they're so awkward and they are so obvious, like predictable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Then after a while, another guy came in a motorcycle, had a few words with him, left. So I'm fresh and I'm like, I actually, I actually want them to do something to me so that I can turn this into a whole international issue. Like, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know? And I went out. I'm like, they're not going to keep me inside my house. You know? I'm a resident in another country. Okay? I don't live here. I know what freedom looks like. And I'm not going to fall for these mimics. So I went outside. The guy got a little nervous. He got on his cell phone. I don't know if he thought I was going to bring out a big sign saying, abajo todo. So I went outside. I said hi to a few neighbors and stuff. He was so nervous. He was following me with his eyes. Everybody knows me. I grew up in that block.
Yeah.
You know, so I was saying hi to the neighbors and stuff. He was so, so nervous. That was crazy. And then on the way out, they stopped me at the airport. And all I said to that agent was, I have a flight that's leaving and I don't mind missing the flight if you're paying for the next one because mm-hmm. it's not coming out of my pocket. Mm. So I was already starting to get a little, you know, that Cuban passion that we have that some people call anger.
Yeah.
So I started getting a little passionate there. And I remember the superior to whoever stopped me. Just give him a sign. Just did like this with his hand, like, let her go. You don't want a scandal with this woman here. Yeah. So they did. And I didn't miss my flight. I was able to get on the flight. They told me that I couldn't enter the country without the permit because even if you were born in Cuba, you need a permit to get back into your own country of birth. That's a lot of stuff that people don't know. Okay? It's a prison island. So I did not apply for the permit. And I did it on purpose because I know if I apply for the permit, they will deny me because I'm an activist.
Yeah.
So all I did was just book the flight and went at my own risk. And, you know, I was able to do what I did and then came back. But, yeah.
Yeah, see, if that's not gangster, I don't know what it is anymore, man. Let me tell you something. You got more than these dudes out here in these streets. And I say that to you all the time. You got more guts than these dudes out in these streets, man.
I'm trying my best. I'm just doing what I have to do.
Yeah, we doing God's work out here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, what's next up for Grecia?
Oh, gosh. What's next? So, I'm going to keep creating content. I'm going to keep promoting, you know, exactly what I do with my activism. But, you know, I do activism that's mixed with glamour, you know, fashion and stuff like that. So I'm gonna keep working with the designer, Alberto Leal, thank God. I love the collaborations with him. And hopefully they call me for another movie.
Bad, and I'm here for it, man. I'll be here with the pom-poms cheering for you, girl.
Thank you.
No problem. Oh, before I leave, before we get out of here, what's going with your man, Thaole? Is he going to win, the mayor? Because he's going hard on this. What's going with your homeboy? Is he going to win?
Otaola.
Yeah, he's going to win. I see. Cause I'm a fan. Like, you know what? I thought he was a little arrogant
right.
jerk when he comes through. But every time, it's like this. It's like you either hate him, you love him, or you love to hate him.
You got to love him. But you have to love him.
The one thing I have to say about this dude, when he gets to his anti-communist back, he doesn't miss.
He
does not miss. And another thing, too. You know how, I have to be honest with you, how Cubans feel about the LGBT community.
Right.
And the fact that he's a gay man talking the way he talks right. with no fear. You right. got to honor that. You right. got to respect that. And I see him going off a bit. And because we live in such a wacky world, like at first, I was like, this dude's a maniac. This is another plug for the show. But then, you know, this guy named Donald Trump ended up winning. And I was like, okay, if this guy did it, maybe anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And now, like, oh my God, can he probably win this?
I think he will. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think he will. It's surprising. It's surprising,
it's surprising.
What's going on. Yes. And he's a very, he moves people.
He moves people.
He got something.
It's something, man. I think my mom told me he's Obatala, I think. So I think it's that Obatala and him that
I think he got him going. Listen, he got something.
More guts than your average men out here, man. Salutes to Thaole, man. Salutes to him, man.
Yes.
Yeah, man, but this has been The Tape Deck with Grecia Ordóñez, and it was such a pleasure to have you. It's never a dull moment. Is it the podcast thing or the radio thing? We're about to go upstairs with the break thing.
Yes.
If we're not in New York screaming at Canel, we out here.
Oh, yeah. We be in protest.
upon episodes. And I already told you, you need something, I'm one call away, baby. We out here. We out here. Yes. It's never a dull moment. But, you know, again, thank you. It's been a pleasure. You got an open door here. Hopefully you'll come again.
Thank you.
And this has been the Tape Deck 102.9. It's your boy, Cuban Mike. You can catch me every Friday here from 6 to 7. If I'm not pumping some dope hip-hop, I got some dope guests. And if you're a communist, I'm blocking you out because you're not my friend. You're a terrible human being. I wish bad things on you. I'm joking. Not bad things on you, but I can't rock with you. I can't rock with you. Hey, Brett, if you're hearing that, like, block that off, man. I don't want the boys upstairs coming after me. So please. But yeah, man. Shout out to Wilkes. Hold on a second before I get out of here. Shout out to Wilkes, my barber. He got me looking fresh up on the streets with the fly cut out here. So yeah. This is your boy, Cuban Mike. You've been listening to the Tape Deck. And I'm out, y'all. One love. Peace.